time to showcase the best of Sportsnet 650.
Here's J.C. Miller down the right wing into the LA zone. Aimed for Pettersson. He scores! Elias Pettersson to the rescue for the Canucks. His team leading 18th of the year.
This is the wrap-up with Rajah Sherdil on your home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Hey, what's going on, Vancouver? Hope you are enjoying your Saturday morning. We are back at it today. I am Rajah Sherdil, your host. You're the host of this program. You are listening to the wrap-up here on Sportsnet 650. Thank you so much for giving us some time today. We are back at it bright and early. Well, kind of. I'm going to preface this. I'm going to give you a full disclaimer. This show is pre-recorded this week. Recording this on Friday afternoon, just before 2 o'clock. So yeah, for those Vancouver Canucks, I'm not really sure yet what the results from last night's Game 4 against the Minnesota Wild are yet. Have the Canucks wrapped it up? Or will there be a game tomorrow as well? As of this recording, we are unsure. I am preparing for a Game 4 between the Vancouver Canucks and the Minnesota Wild coming up a little bit later on Friday afternoon. We may be looking ahead to another series right now, or perhaps to tomorrow's Game 5. I'm not really sure yet, but one thing I do know is all your Canucks content, everything you need to get your hockey fix, you get right here on Vancouver's exclusive home of the National Hockey League and Vancouver Hockey Sportsnet 650. Two-plus hour-long pregame shows, postgame show goes until you guys stop calling. Extensive coverage throughout the entire week. We've got you covered right here on Sportsnet 650. And now, especially more than ever, since it is postseason time, lots of fantastic interviews and segments. I will present them to you here today over the course of the next hour. Ed Jovanovski and Yannick Hansen have been tearing it up all week on these airwaves, breaking down all the best and worst from the Canucks in this play-in series against the Minnesota Wild. And we've seen a little bit of both from them in this series. One more time, full disclaimer, I am pre-recording this ahead of Friday night's Game 4, so I'm not sure yet what the result is. However, the first three games we saw some good, some bad, a little bit of ugly from the Vancouver Canucks as well. Game 1 was not good at all. You look at the roster and who performed well and who didn't, and you're overwhelmingly saying that the vast majority of the squad would fall under the bad category. Games 2 and 3, though, different story. The team comes away with two straight wins, and through three games, they have not allowed a single 5-on-5 goal. And as much critique or hate Travis Green may have gotten for his lineup moves, notably sitting out Jake Virtanen and then proceeding to take out Adam Gaudette and leaving Brandon Sutter on that third line, Canucks have played pretty well. And dare I say it? Oh, you guys might want to plug your ears for this one. Dare I say it? Their best player outside of Brock Besser and Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes may just be Brandon Sutter? Are we ready to have that conversation yet? See, I'm a full believer of one thing. As soon as the player hits the ice, their contract during that game does not matter. For the most part. It does not matter. I think we're over the fact that Louis Erickson isn't the scoring machine the Vancouver Canucks expected him to be when they signed him. We are way past that. So why the hate anytime he seems to see some ice time? Tyler Toffoli, along with being a very skilled sniper, is also a terrific defensive player. And I can understand Green's reasoning for putting a player like Louis Erickson in Toffoli's spot during his injury instead of, say, Jake Virtanen. Because it really helps bring some stability and some reliability to that second line. If Louis Erickson or Brandon Sutter made $3 million less, we wouldn't be talking about them the way we do. See, let's not hate the players because of the money. Brandon Sutter has been rock solid for the Canucks this series. He's been moving his feet. He's been involved. He's done a good job playing defense in his own zone. He's had a couple of chances in Game 3 as well. And just like my colleague Randeep Janda tweeted out after that giant hit on Kevin Fiala after the whistle when Fiala went to push Jacob Markstrom, he definitely won over some Canucks fans simply because of that. The thing is, it doesn't need to be that obvious for players like Beagle and Sutter and Myers and Louis Erickson to win over a fan base. I think the small plays makes a giant difference. And Brandon Sutter has been doing that for the Canucks. I think Jay Beagle's been doing that. And Tyler Motte's a guy that a lot of the fan base likes because of the energy he brings, because of the PK style that he plays, because of how relentless he is. And he makes next to no money. And I hate to say it, but I think that's the reason why a lot of Canucks fans seem to like him over guys like Jay Beagle. Because listen, at the end of the day, salary cap of course matters when we're talking about adding players and subtracting players to this team. Of course it matters. The business side of hockey is what builds championships. No one is disagreeing with that. But when you talk about the on-ice product, And especially at this time in the postseason, you can't change what the makeup of this roster is. You don't like the money that Brandon Sutter or Louis Erickson or Jay Beagle are making? You can't really do anything about it right now. All you can hope is that they play good hockey for the role that they're in. Brandon Sutter, Louis Erickson, and Jay Beagle, they have been doing that. Tyler Myers as well. They have been doing that. You look at that lineup that Benning and company have invested in and built, and you see names like the ones I just mentioned. Roussel's in that category as well. And we talk about playoff experience, we talk about character, we talk about grit, and many people shake their heads at these foreign, quote-unquote, concepts. It's not really foreign, but people seem to believe it is. And I'm not saying it's a lineup that earns their paycheck every single season, and especially not this year. But right now, we're during this play-in series against the Minnesota Wild, they have been a bright spot for the Vancouver Canucks. I want to discuss these lineup changes and who may come in, who might go out, and especially with the injuries a little bit more. And it does complicate things because Michael Ferland has left the bubble, and that is an absolutely terrible story. You feel for Michael Ferland. You knew that he played with intensity the entire time prior to the series. He was saying that he's not going to change the way that he plays. He's going to continue to be a wrecking ball out there. He wants to play that physical style. And, man, he did, especially in Game 1. He did. He stayed true to his word. But you definitely feel for the player of Michael Ferland. He's not going to come back in the series. It's not up to us to speculate. But we'll see what happens in the coming months with Michael Ferland and his health. Where does Adam Gaudette fit in if he comes back into the lineup? How did Zach McEwen look at his first game? Well, Patrick Johnston from The Province joined Andrew Walker and Satyar Shah on the program to break down the Vancouver Canucks' first three games against the Minnesota Wild in this play-in series. Take a listen.
You know, we heard Travis Green talk about the idea of fine lines, which, you know, I think made some of us chuckle because it was a return to what Carl Robinson used to always talk about with the Whitecaps, but he's not wrong. You know, when you look at results and process, there's very few things that often distinguish a win from a loss. The Canucks didn't look good in game one. I don't think there's any doubt about that. They struggled to get to the slot. They struggled to generate quality opportunities. They didn't have any power plays. Last night, they had a ton of power plays. They had a ton of chances. At 5-on-5, I think they still, in general, looked better. Certainly, the energy felt better. The numbers aren't all that different if you look at the two different games. But on Sunday, Elias Pettersson was a dominant player, even if he didn't score. Last night, everything clicked. And, you know, you think about the impact he made, you know, just rushing the net on JT Miller's goal. You know, the depth pass he made on the doorstep to help Brock Besser put the puck in the net. There were other examples, you know, in terms of how he played. You know, just a player that I think we knew coming out of the summer break, if you will, the pause, you know, looked as strong as ever, perhaps better. A young player who understands very well the work required to take himself to that next level, that he has the skill set that will take him a long way. But to become great, you have to put in so much work and you have to be so focused and so dedicated on what you're doing in creating, the player you want to be. And, you know, I think we're seeing the results of that. You know, and as we know, he's meshed so well with JT Miller all year. And Brock Besser being healthy, coming back, those two have had chemistry in the past. It was no surprise to me that that line really was firing all cylinders last night.
Well, and also Brock Besser, the way he played, we've been talking about Besser since his rookie season, and he set the standards so high, the expectations so high with how well he played and how he scored. we haven't seen that shot in the first couple of games, you know, get wired past goalies the same way so far. But as far as his jump, his physicality, the way he has risen to the moment, the way how hard he's been playing, like, we're starting to see again, like, the best version of Brock Besser.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is a player that, you know, coming out of last summer, he told me very much about how important it was to him to get a real full start, that he'd had an off season that he wanted to have. But then, of course, dealing with his father, his contract situation, you know, it wasn't an easy start to the year. And yet, you know, he persevered. He showed lots of good stuff. But there were still moments, I think, where we all kind of said, it's not quite, you know, where you want to be. This is a guy that I think, you know, he doesn't sort of brag about the work he puts in. That's not his character. You know, he's much more happy to talk about hanging out with his friends and his teammates and that sort of thing. But he told us, you know, I think he wanted to make it clear how much work he put in this year. You know, despite the circumstances, the challenges that the lockdown that they were dealing with in Minnesota, like in so many places around North America, that put on him in terms of how he could maintain his fitness and get stronger. And he worked hard to do both those things. And a player like him, like Pettersson, the quicker you are, the more, honed in your body is in physical terms, the more things you can do. And I think we've seen that through two games. There's a zip to his stride. You know, we certainly saw last night that old Besser shoot from anywhere mentality. I mean, let's be clear, he shoots from anywhere, but where he's shooting from is almost always a great position. You know, this isn't a guy that's firing pucks off the boards towards the net, hoping maybe they hit the goalie and bounce in. This was a guy that looked like he knew what he was doing and fully deserved that goal, I think, as I tweeted at the time.
He is noticeably quicker. And, yes. And honestly, the last couple of years, it's been a bit of an argument because I understand that, you know, fans want to support their guy. And kind of the thing has been, you know, Brock doesn't look like he's moving the same as his rookie season. And people say, no, it's just not his game. And he's more smart than that. But no, it is different. He is noticeably quicker right now than he has been for probably 2 years.
Yeah, I think that's totally right. I mean, you go back with the struggles he had even from his first year, dealing with little injuries that set back his off-season training. And, you know, for him to have a full, in many ways, a full summer to prepare for this return, you know, and the way he clearly took advantage of it as he was trying to last year, you know, I think to me tells us everything. That this is a player that really does believe it. I think the chatter that may have popped up there about, you know, perhaps the team had been thinking about moving on from him, whether that was in the past or more recently, that it had happened at all. You know, I think that really spoke to him, that this is something he wanted to prove. He says, this is the team that drafted him. He wants to be here. And he wanted to show, you know, that the team was right to sign him to that contract last year, that he's a guy that wants to be, you know, one of the best players on this team. And, yeah, we're seeing that so far.
So the Minnesota Wild are more than a speed bump, you know, and they took game one from the Canucks, but I think we saw best case scenario for the Canucks last night. Like, they are clearly a better team, especially in the goaltending department and with the amount of dangerous forwards they have. Kevin Fiala is great, but the Canucks have many more guys that can hurt you. Would you be surprised at this point if the Canucks didn't not ride off into the sunset, but was that the turning point last night in that series?
I mean, it's so funny to think about turning points given, you know, we're two games in. I think, right. I think of both games, like I said, both games are such narrow, such sort of narrow margins, really, that, you know, who knows what's going to happen next, but in the end, the Canucks did do more to get to the middle of the ice. Kevin Fiala found some goals late in the game. You know, the Canucks probably sat back more than they should, but that's been how they do things. I think at the end of the day, it really is about what you do with the chances you get. And if you don't make many chances, you're not going to score. Kevin Fiala is a fantastic player, you know, a great physical player. And he talked a little bit about it on the media call this morning, you know, just about the reality of, of you know having to make things happen. He thought the Canucks checked him, checked them overall much tighter than they did the game before, which you know is a compliment to the Canucks. So that has been a critique of how they play. So you know Fiala forever is going to be a bit of an X factor, but if you're going to have if you're going to win this series, you've got to, in the end, you've got to get good goaltending. You got to get great goaltending because we know that with Jacob Markstrom has been the key to successful here. You know, your power play has to chip in and you know, you have to at least, hold serve at 5-on-5.
And, you know, on 5-on-5, they've done a decent job overall as a team. And, you know, a guy that actually helps their 5-on-5 play is Louis Erickson. And, you know, it's so funny, right, PJ, because we look at Louis and we all know the conversation is the same one. The contract, terrible. And yes, it's going to be a big issue for you. But the fact that he can step in and play as well as he has defensively in a game without having played 5 months, like there is a floor that Louis Erickson brings. And in this moment right now in this playoff with these guys being injured, especially Toffoli being out, again, this is not about the contract, but in this moment right now, believe it or not, Erickson has brought utility at least for one game.
Absolutely. You know, I think, you know, it was funny. That was another topic, you know, Horvat was asked, what is it about Louis that, you know, makes your game steadier? And, you can't quite put your finger. Louis's been around, you know, Louis still has all the talent, you know, of a guy that was a great player in this league. You know, his hands may not quite be there. His wheels may not quite be there. But he's got all the kind of brain power. You know, in soccer, they always talk about how, you know, the veteran, best, smartest players always end up sort of they move further back on the field and towards the middle because, you know, they can't deal with the speed on the outside anymore. Well, you know, I'm not exactly arguing that Louis Erickson should become a defenseman or perhaps become a center, but he is a player that, you know, has to adapt his game from what he once was. And, you know, for whatever reason, does seem at times to be a case of the sum of the parts being greater than the parts themselves, right? I mean, this is a guy that, in the end, you know, helps that line make things happen. You felt a bit bad for Erickson having the stick snap on that 2-on-1. He's a guy that he's a smart player. He doesn't hurt the Canucks when he's in the lineup. He doesn't score, so from that standpoint, you know, given the contract, yeah, I suppose in relative terms he might hurt, but really from a base level, he's a guy that doesn't make mistakes. He's a pretty good penalty killer. He's responsible defensively. He moves the puck. If he didn't have that huge contract, you'd be perfectly fine with him turning out on your third or fourth line every night. And in many ways, the Horvat line is obviously the second line, and so you'd rather not have Louis there, but there are worse guys to put in that position.
So what do you do with the lineup going forward? I know we don't necessarily know if Gaudette is available or if that's a guy that they want in the lineup. And same goes for Roussel. Safe to assume that you know Ferland is out. We don't expect Toffoli in Game 3. What would you do if you had your way?
Well, I mean, Adam Gaudette was not good in Sunday's game. And, you know, there were moments this season where he clearly had work to do as a two-way player. We know he's a pretty good offensive talent, a nice depth forward with good hands, who sees the game really well, has improved his skating. But the defensive aspects still need work. So, you know, there is a case to get him back in. That said, you know, Travis Green is a big fan of Brandon Sutter, who is not the player he used to be, not the skater he once was, but still does a lot of good things well. I think is a perfectly fine as your fourth line center. In many ways, the way that line gets supplied really is your fourth line because Jay Beagle sees so much defensive action. Jay Beagle, to be perfectly honest, I wouldn't have both Sutter and Beagle in the lineup, but we know Travis Green is probably going to have both those guys in the lineup because he trusts them. They're sort of that dependable trust veteran thing. More than likely, I think we'll just see Zach MacEwen come back in. We know they like the sort of energy and spunk that he brings, and he has showed a nice touch offensively. Certainly a player that we know has worked very hard to improve his game and has, I think, tangible results for that. I would more than likely see, if you're bringing one guy back in, it's going to be Michael Ferland. I just don't think there's any hope of Tyler Toffoli playing at all in the rest of the series. Antoine Roussel, I think there's every reason to think he'll be fine. I mean, I suppose he might have some swelling around that eye, but you know, if you're picking a guy, in the end, the least complicated move is to simply bring Zach MacEwen in, and you're not going to be wrong in doing that.
Great stuff there from Patrick Johnston. He was on with Andrew Walker and Satyar Shah on the program. You can hear the Monday to Friday, 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. right here on your home of the Vancouver Canucks, Sportsnet 650. You can download the podcast as well on Apple Podcasts or head on over to sportsnet.ca/650 to listen to that interview in its entirety and every other interview that we conduct on these airwaves. Good stuff there. The Canucks, lots of people have said it before. I'll say it again. They are a team with a young nucleus. The team will learn how to win in the playoffs. They'll learn to be successful in the playoffs. And guys like Pettersson have definitely been getting a lesson in that. But how many times over the course of the last couple of years have we talked about the team not stepping up for one another? They have done that in this series. Props to JT Miller for stepping up to Ryan Hartman for that dangerous check on Elias Pettersson. Troy Stetcher, Tyler Mobb, Brandon Sutter, they did that as well after Kevin Fiala took a shot at Jacob Markstrom after the whistle. And this is a team that played games number two and three with some confidence. And if they can continue to do that, I think they can overcome a few hurdles along the way if they defeat the Wild in this play-in series. It's all hockey all the time right here on Sportsnet 650. We will break down more of what is happening across the NHL's playoffs and hear from former Vancouver Canucks goaltender Corey Schneider on the other side as well. You are listening to the wrap-up on your home of Vancouver hockey, Sportsnet 650.
Now, back to the wrap-up with Raja Shergill on Sportsnet 650.
Welcome back to the show. It is the wrap-up here on Sportsnet 650, your home of Vancouver hockey, your home of your Vancouver Canucks, radio's exclusive home for all of the in-depth NHL coverage and Vancouver Canucks coverage here in Vancouver. I am Roger Shergill. You are listening to the wrap-up, the bringing you the best interviews and segments over the course of this entire week. And we heard a good one prior to the break. Patrick Johnston broke down the Vancouver Canucks lineups and who we've seen in and how they've played and what we might see down the stretch as well as this series with the Minnesota Wild continues. Or does it continue, actually? Again, I need to give you a disclaimer. I've been telling you all show long. This is a pre-recorded program this week, and I am recording this on Friday ahead of game number four between the Canucks and Wild. So, for all I know, not sure yet whether they have advanced and they're in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, or are we looking forward to a game number five tomorrow? That being said, though, it's been a pretty good series for the Canucks in each way you can say, except for game number one. Wasn't a very strong game for the Canucks, although they bounced back pretty good in games number two and three, and they have yet to allow a 5-on-5 goal. Jacob Markstrom has looked strong. The Canucks' physical play has looked strong, and I really liked the fact that they've stepped up for one another when they need to. And, you know, we saw that in JT Miller's scrap with Ryan Hartman. We saw that with Troy Stetcher, Brandon Sutter, Tyler Mott jumping Kevin Fiala after he took a shot at Jacob Markstrom. We have seen the Canucks really come together as a team, and they have played well. The power play obviously needs some work, but I think you have to give penalty killing credit to the Minnesota Wild as well. I don't like to say necessarily things like, oh, the Canucks never played well, because that takes away credit from the Minnesota Wild. You have to give credit where credit is due. And I think especially in game one, there was a lot of people saying the Vancouver Canucks have played bad. They haven't played good. We don't necessarily believe that this team can take a step forward. And, you know, there was all these people that were unsure of what to expect from the Vancouver Canucks after game one. And then, you know, you see how well they rebound in games two and three, and all of a sudden things change a little bit. And, you know, it all comes back to momentum, and it all comes back to playoff hockey and how you can go from game to game. And the old cliche, we're taking it one day at a time. We hear that so often from hockey players, but it means so much more, it feels like, in the playoffs. And, you know, when you talk about play-by-play and game-by-game situation type events that happen in the game, so many little plays mean so much more. That is why Tyler Mott, I think, has been excellent for the Vancouver Canucks in this series. That's why I think Brandon Sutter and Tyler Myers, despite the plethora of penalties that he takes, has been pretty good for the Vancouver Canucks, because every little play means so much. And yeah, Tyler Myers needs to work on his discipline, because let me get one thing straight. I know I've seen this a lot on Twitter, and I agree with an aspect of it, and I disagree with an aspect of it. Here's what it is with Tyler Myers and the penalties. I do think the penalties have been weak to an extent. I think they've been soft. And there's some people that say, well, he takes physical penalties. A lot of them are cross-checking penalties and roughing penalties. And, you know, that's at least beating up the Minnesota Wild. Well, yeah, that's all true. He is taking physical penalties. And like I said, I don't think that in traditional playoff formats we would see those penalties being called. I think we see a lot of, you know, the referees put their whistles away a little bit when it comes to those kinds of penalties. And that's my problem with this, is that I think in general, those penalties wouldn't be called in the postseason. That's why I'm calling the penalties against Tyler Myers kind of soft. That being said, though, they have been called the entire series. So once you're in game number 3, and especially once you're in game number 4 and 5, you've really got to get an understanding of what the referees are calling and what they're not calling, and you've really got to find a way to be disciplined. I do think Tyler Myers has had a terrific series. I do think that Brandon Sutter, Jay Beagle, Tyler Motte have had good series. So the Canucks are looking pretty well from some of their depth guys. It was a rocket and a cannon that Antoine Roussel got shot out of to score that second goal for the Vancouver Canucks. They are finding their game, it seems like, after games 2 and 3. Will, again, I'm not sure what game 4 has in store. That went yesterday. Like I said, I'm recording this out before the fact, so we'll have to wait and see, I guess, to get my reaction on that. But all of this comes down to, as mentioned, the momentum and everything that comes down to the playoff series, the intensity that we've seen, the physicality, the rivalry. Not that Minnesota and Vancouver is a rivalry, but they've really started to hate each other very early on in this series. And how much of that really comes into play throughout the playoffs? I'm not sure what people expected when it was announced that the Canucks would take on the Wild and every other play-in series was announced, but I'm not sure if this much intensity is what people expected. We got it early. We got it right off the bat with the Carolina Hurricanes and the New York Rangers setting the precedent with big hits and fights and goals and a lot of trash talk, and then it boiled all the way down to the Vancouver Canucks game the day after and every game in between with the Winnipeg Jets and the Calgary Flames. And you know, we now know that the Winnipeg Jets are knocked out on a very tough loss for them, considering the fact that Mark Scheifele and Patrick Laine were out of their lineup. But I think the intensity is a big reason for why these playoffs have been so entertaining and so riveting. And it's why I think the Canucks have had some success as well. They've done a pretty good job of living up to that expectation of playing as a team and playing for each other and playing playoff-style hockey. Elias Pettersson has been, you know, getting bullied by the Minnesota Wild a little bit. But guess what? The Canucks are right there. Pettersson himself is right there to hit back Jordan Greenway or Luke Kunin or whoever it might be, Ryan Hartman. You know, the Canucks are really showing that edge, and I think that's exactly what you as fans and Canucks management should want from a young team that is really trying to learn how to play in the playoffs. Again, they have veterans, but to see guys like Brock Besser fighting back and Troy Stetcher and Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes, I think it shows a lot and of how this young team is really getting together and bonding and playing a style of hockey that is really needed to win in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. That being said, former Vancouver Canucks goaltender Corey Schneider had his first chance at the Stanley Cup playoffs back in 2011 when he was with the Vancouver Canucks. Do you remember which game? Game number 6, if that was your answer. You are correct. Game number 6 between the Chicago Blackhawks and the Vancouver Canucks in round number 1. Remember, the Canucks had that 3-0 series lead. Game 6, they of course had the chance to wrap it up. However, they could not do it. Corey Schneider had the start. I believe he got injured in that third period. Luongo had to come in. Ben Street, if I'm not mistaken, scored the winner for Chicago. That forced Game 7. Then we all know what happened from there. Corey Schneider was on our airwaves yesterday on with Scott Rintoul to discuss playoff intensity, how it's like for young players to react to postseason hockey, and what he's been making of the entire play-in series as well. He joined Scott Rintoul on the Scott Rintoul Show. We discussed all of that and that series against the Chicago Blackhawks. Take a listen.
The intensity has been there from the get-go. The physical play has been there from the get-go. Does any of that surprise you whatsoever, given the oddity of the situation we find ourselves in?
A little bit. I mean, I don't ever want to underestimate my colleagues, and I'd like to think that, you know, myself and my teammates would be the same way. But, you know, it's just there's the old cliche that, you know, oh, this team will turn it on when the playoffs arrive. And you're like, oh, okay, they're a little flat right now, but once the playoffs come, they'll just ramp it up and they'll be able to turn it on. They'll be fine. A lot of that comes from, you know, the fans and just the atmosphere, the adrenaline. You know, you step out for warm-ups and the place is going crazy and you feel the buzz in the city and all that. So that's part of what gets you going. So there was none of that. And I've been really impressed with how the guys have kind of conjured that up themselves and created this product. Cause I think it's great. And, you know, I'll admit as a card-carrying member of the goalie union, I've been impressed with the goaltending. There hasn't been a lot of, you know, really bad goals or blow-up games from guys where they just look like they're not in rhythm yet. I think overall, the goaltending has been very solid, actually.
You're not going to want to see this one that Bobrovsky just gave up then. Islanders on the board, 1-0. It falls in that category, but I digress. We will keep you apprised of anything happening there. Corey Schneider joining us this morning. You talked about being impressed with the goaltenders. Who tops that list from you? Which goalie has impressed you the most so far in this postseason and why?
It's a good question. You know, it's hard to tell. You got the qualifying round and you got the round robin, so there's probably a little more pressure and intensity in that qualification round because they're trying to get in. They have a chance to be eliminated, whereas, you know, we're not going to see any elimination games in the round robin. So I think that's one measure. Obviously, you know, Carey Price, you know, doesn't need to be said with him and his resume, but just their situation, you know, probably maybe the biggest underdog coming into this. They have Pittsburgh on the verge. But it's amazing how quickly everything flips. You know, before yesterday, I might have said, you know, Korpisalo or even Freddie Anderson have kind of been undersung in their series, and they both struggled a little bit, I guess, or didn't have great games. So it just seems like every night, you know, somebody else is stepping up or somebody may falter. So, you know, again, I got to be honest, I haven't watched every single game. It's just, you know, too much hockey on to do that. So I haven't really closely paid attention to a guy maybe like Markstrom or even Stalock from Minnesota. So it's almost like I can't even give you an honest assessment of every single guy because I just haven't been able to watch them enough.
Well, that's the thing. You have to kind of pick and choose right now. And some series you see a little bit of, and other series you focus on a little more intently. You mentioned Carey Price. I think everybody who's watched that series knows how good he has been. He has been full value for the reputation, which has been questioned certainly over the last couple of years. On the other side, Tristan Jarry is getting the call for the Penguins today. You've been in his skates before, Corey. You've been thrust into a series in a high-pressure situation. If Tristan Jarry called you today, what advice would you give him?
I mean, he's got to, I think, just play like he has nothing to lose. Obviously, they have a lot to lose, but him personally, it's a tough spot. You know, everyone's three games into it. Everyone's kind of gotten their legs going. They're in that mentality, and he's sort of being dropped into it without having played a meaningful game in almost 5 months. So, you know, it'd be easy to put pressure on yourself in the sense that, oh, man, I don't want to be the guy that causes us to go home. I don't want to be the guy who makes a mistake, because I haven't been doing this, but I think, you know, he's looked good all year. He's been really impressive as a young guy, so I think you just almost have to carry that swagger or, you know, ignorance isn't the word. I'm not saying, you know, he's dumb or anything, just put that, you know, ignorance of the moment, be like, okay, you know, it is what it is. I just have to go there and play my best and not think about the circumstances because, you know, if you think about it, it's a tough spot to be put in. So it'll be interesting to see how he responds. Interesting move by the Penguins. It just shows you, you know, what have you done for me lately? You know, like I said, Korpisalo was the story early on, and now Merzlikins is playing, and Matt Murray's won a couple Stanley Cups, and now Jarry's playing. So it just sort of really depends day to day. What have you done for me? And that's the coaches aren't afraid to make a change.
Well, in the short series, they kind of have to if that's what their gut tells them. Corey Schneider joining us here today, Devils goaltender, analyst currently during the playoffs with NBC as we watch this game unfold between the Islanders and the Panthers right now. 1-0 in favor of the Islanders. I want to go back to that start that I referenced. You got the start. Your first playoff start was over Roberto Luongo. It's the middle of that series against the Chicago Blackhawks. It's game six. Team has dropped two straight. How did Alain Vigneault handle that situation with the two of you? And what was the discussion like between you and Roberto?
Yeah, you know, so long ago now, almost 9 years, I think. So I'm trying to pull up the memory drive in my mind, but
I mean, I just remember Louis handled it great. You know, I think throughout the year, I remember I'd gotten a little more action than I think he was accustomed to. I want to say I played like 30 games versus like 20 to 25. And, you know, I remember they put me in some spots that I wasn't quite expecting. I remember the rematch in Boston with the Bruins after the Cup. And I was a little surprised that I was going to play that game because, you know, it wasn't a back-to-back. And, you know, so I don't know if they were sort of grooming me or just sort of testing me to see if I could handle some of the bigger moments. So part of me knew that if things didn't go well, that, you know, I might be called on sooner than later. And again, you know, I think AV made it clear that it wasn't Louis' fault. You know, he was, I thought he played well in the first two games. We just didn't have the answer for what turned out to be a really good LA Kings team. So, you know, I think Louis understood the situation. You know, he said, look, you know, we both played a lot this year and guys have played well. So like, you know, we'll give him the chance. And he was great with me about it. Again, he never raised any issues with me in terms of our situation. So, and again, you know, AV had to handle it carefully, you know, with the veteran status, and he did it the year before when I played in Chicago in the first round of the playoffs. And so again, we knew he wasn't afraid to make a switch. So again, I wasn't too surprised, but just my mentality talking about it, you know, coming down 2-0, I wasn't gonna be able to win three games in one. You know, even if I played the game of my life and won the game, we'd still be down 2-1. So I was just trying to keep everything in perspective and just focus on that game and then worry about the next one as it came. But you know, it was a fun moment for me. That was a fun series to play in, even though we got knocked out early.
Well, you mentioned the first start against Chicago. That was game six the year before and what ultimately was a run to the Stanley Cup final. Did teammates talk to you when they found out you were starting that day? Did anybody give you any type of advice or say anything to try to calm you down?
No. I think guys try to stay far away from goalies as they can, especially in the playoffs, you know. They're worried about their thing. And I want to say, guys, I didn't really know until the next morning. I think AV pulled us aside after the practice the day before and told us that night. And I think he just sort of said, hey, keep this to yourselves. So I think when we did the meetings and the lineup the next morning, guys found out. So, you know, I can't speak to what their thoughts or feelings were, if they're worried or confident or nervous in me. But, you know, if anything, it was just, hey, you know, we have fun, enjoy it. Like, you know, we got you. We believe in you. You know, just go do your thing. So, nothing too crazy, as I said. I think guys treat us like nuclear waste when we're in the playoffs. They don't want to touch us or come near us because they're not sure if they're going to screw us up or what.
Great stuff there from a former Vancouver Canucks goaltender, current New Jersey Devils goaltender Corey Schneider, talking with Scott Rintoul on the Scott Rintoul Show. Man, Corey Schneider, such a great player, such a great personality in person as well. Of course, he's had a tough couple of seasons in New Jersey dealing with injuries as well. He was sent down to the American Hockey League as well. It's, you know, from a human point of view, you hope that a player like that can have some success. Corey Schneider is now on the NBC broadcast as well, breaking down some of the NHL's play-in and qualifying round series. I'm sure we'll see him throughout the NHL's postseason. If you want to listen to that interview in its entirety, head on over to sportsnet.ca/6FE. to navigate to the Scott Rintoul Show's page, and then all of the interviews from that show and every other show will be there. Or you can listen to Scott Rintoul live Monday to Friday from 9 a.m. till 12 p.m. Then make sure you catch him and Bick Nazar from 12 p.m. to noon for a full hour of Vancouver Canucks coverage on Canucks Central right here on your exclusive home of the Vancouver Canucks, Sportsnet 650. I have spent a lot of this show talking about the young players of the Vancouver Canucks and how they are adapting to the playoffs. I've even spent some time talking about, you know, their veterans, guys like Brandon Sutter, what I've really liked from him, what I've liked from Beagle and Tyler Myers. I think those are all guys that aren't going to get the respect that they deserve in this market, but they have played well throughout these entire playoff series. Matter of fact, I started off this show with a little bit of a rant talking about how fans will not give them the credit they deserve simply because of their paycheck and their salary cap numbers. And I do think that's a little bit of a it's unfair for those players, because Sutter and Beagle and Myers, I think, have played well for Vancouver. But, you know, let's focus a little bit on their young stars like Elias Pettersson and notably Quinn Hughes as well. They're both playing in their first playoffs, I should say, and Pettersson scores his first playoff goal to set the insurance goal for the Vancouver Canucks in Minnesota's in game three against Minnesota to get that insurance marker and to secure the win for Vancouver. It was a 3-0 shutout win. And throughout the series, Pettersson in particular has really been getting the brunt of a lot of checks from Minnesota. And I've mentioned this a few times. JT Miller stepped up to hit Ryan Hartman, and I think that was an absolutely fantastic play from the veteran who has played it in so many playoff games like JT Miller has. And, you know, we talk about response or lack thereof of response from the Canucks throughout the season, and, you know, we've definitely seen that with Elias Pettersson before. I mean, you look back to the Mike Matheson incident, and, you know, the Canucks this playoff series have done a good job of answering the bell to a lot of targeted hits from the Minnesota Wild. And not only guys like, you know, that you expect to do that, not only from guys like Antoine Roussel or JT Miller, like guys like Pettersson as well. We've seen them throw some slashes and punches back towards guys like Greenway and back towards guys like Luke Cunning and Ryan Hartman. I think the Canucks youngsters, especially guys like Pettersson, have done a good job. But there is still a lot more learning to do from the Canucks young players. Elias Pettersson, at the time of this recording, has 4 assists in 3 games. He has looked pretty good for the Canucks. And I say pretty good because I think that we are going to see a lot better Quinn Hughes coming down the line. It might not be this playoffs. Might not be next playoffs, but as this guy gets older, gets more mature, we all know it. It's no secret. He is going to become one of the best players from a defensive point of view in the entire National Hockey League. And if this 4 goals and 3 assists is, you know, been kind of a quiet outing for Quinn Hughes, we haven't really seen him be too flashy or make so many necessarily fantastic plays that you're dropping your jaw at, I think down the line, we're definitely going to see Quinn Hughes hit his peak, and the Canucks blue line is going to look totally renovated because of it. And Quinn Hughes is, of course, the reason for that. The Canucks, of course, have a lot of youngsters playing in their first play-in or playoff series, I should say. Pettersson is one, Hughes is one, Brock Besser is another, Virtanen is another. Gaudet has only played in 1 game, but he's another one. Horvat is not his first go-around, but it is definitely his first one in 5 years. He was a rookie in 2015, so he is definitely learning a lot from this one as well. Adrian Acoin is a former NHL defenseman, played here in Vancouver as well, more than 1,100 career games. He definitely knows what it's like to be a young player playing in the Stanley Cup playoffs. He joined Dan Riccio and Randeep Janda on Reach Deep this week to discuss how young players can adapt to playing in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
You know, I think Pettersson, to his credit, is battling through it. I mean, what does he weigh, 140 pounds soaking wet? Like, I would be frothing at the mouth to get after him in playoffs. I mean, let alone every game, but playoffs especially, knowing that, you know, your hockey life for the season is on the line. And, you know, I go through that Canuck roster and you see these young guys and they're not that big of guys, but, man, they battle and they play hard and they play the right way. But it's been really impressive because, obviously, you can't get away with as much as, you know, old-school hockey. The refs are definitely monitoring it a lot closer. The game is cleaner for sure. But, man, if you know, and I've been watching most of the series, and some other of the series aren't quite as good as the Canucks series right now, and I think a lot of that is because it's almost like teams don't despise each other as much, but this rivalry, you know, between Minnesota and Vancouver, for some reason, like, goes, it seems like it's been brewed up for a few years now, and it's made for some really good hockey.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, Pettersson has been fantastic, the way that he's fought through things. You know, I know he won a championship in Sweden, but this is his first taste of postseason hockey. You know, what was it like for you, your first game? I know you scored in your first playoff game, but those first playoff games, that first time you got to feel and see that intensity as it compares to the regular season.
Yeah, well, obviously different time, different era. I mean, there was no social media. I don't even know if you could catch every game on television with the different time zones and whatnot. But a kid like Pettersson, you could tell he's already ready. I mean, if you look at a couple, like at least one of those last goals scored last night, like he's the guy driving to the net, making it all happen. Like I said, I keep harping about how he's so light out there, but whatever, but he plays a way heavier game than that. You know, going back to when I played, it was kind of an anomaly, I think, because, you know, because of injuries, we dressed 7D that my first game. My first game was actually game 7 against St. Louis because we had a healthy squad until that game, and Jeff Brown was coming back. And it was, you know, there's a ton of highlights from that series, and a lot of it involves, like, Geno Ogic. A lot of it involves Glenn Anderson. A lot of, you know, the Cortnell, like, it was, there was so much stuff not scoring and more, you know, physical play and just drama. And it was awesome. And it was so much fun, and it was incredible. It was everything that I expected and more. Knowing that it was a playoff game, I just, you know, I knew it was going to be amazing, and it truly was.
Well, Adrian, you mentioned it there, and I have to ask you about it, because that Geno Ogic and Glenn Anderson moment, as somebody who grew up in Vancouver watching that game and seeing Geno just go off and chasing Glenn Anderson around the ice, what was your thoughts while you were watching that go down on the ice itself?
Well, it was kind of funny how it just, like, it kept creeping in, and you know, we were talking about playoffs and going after a guy like Pettersson and stuff, but every player was targeted back then. I remember, like, Jason Cullimore was one of the biggest players on our team. And I remember Brandon Shanahan jumping him and just starting other stuff. And of course, Glenn Anderson, you know, such an amazing player, but he had a, you know, a sly fox way to him of getting under people's skin. And, you know, once you get Geno riled up, or more importantly, once you got Pavel, you know, wound up, Geno would jump in. And unfortunately for a guy like Adam Creighton, he got caught in the crosshairs of Geno, but it was still fun. You know, I mean, the last playoff series that I was involved, anything like that, was when I played for the Islanders and we played against the Maple Leafs. And it was the one where Pekka got his knees taken out by Tucker. Kenny Johnson got a concussion from Gary Roberts. Eric Cairns beat up, you know, Shane Corson and maybe like three other guys. Steve Webb was skating through guys. So it was the most fun I've ever had playing hockey. You know, not just that playoff series, but just about every series where you actually played against some type of rivalry where it was more than just hockey. It was really awesome.
Adrian Acoin, our guest, 341 games with the Vancouver Canucks, of course. We've marveled all year at Quinn Hughes, you know, a rookie coming in and quarterbacking the power play. We remember fondly your 18 goals on the power play a number of years ago, and what you were able to do with the big shot from the point, even here in Vancouver. But, you know, what, when you watch Quinn Hughes, I mean, what are you seeing when he's quarterbacking the power play for the Canucks?
Well, he sees everything. And I, you know, I've probably been interviewed about this a few times, but I remember when I was playing with McGillney and I was just shooting the puck, and Keenan just wanted me to shoot the puck, and there's no passing. And McGillney would almost give me an earful all the time. He's like, hey, like, get your head up. You know, don't even watch the puck. Everybody knows where the puck is. You have to see where the other players are. And Quinn Hughes does that times 10. And obviously his skating and his puck skill is so elite that he doesn't have to worry about that. All he does is just focus on everybody else. And he makes the game look so easy. It's, you know, it's incredible. And I think because of him, you know, because of the other young core guys that Vancouver has now, I mean, it's, like, Vancouver is just going to get better and better. But I think personally, almost every team that wins a cup, if you look in history, they've always had an absolute, at least one stud on defense. Obviously there's a lot of forwards that can score, but if you have that one D that can just control the play, and I kind of equate him to like a young Niedermeyer, it's just a different level.
High praise there from a former NHL defenseman, former Vancouver Canucks defenseman, Adrian Acoin, talking about Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes, their prowess, as we've seen so far in this series against the Minnesota Wild. How much more of great plays will we see from those young guys, not only this postseason, but next year as well? And, you know, throughout the years for the Vancouver Canucks, they of course are, we already know that they're going to be cornerstones, but it's definitely going to be something, it's definitely going to be a treat to watch them grow year after year after year. And you know what, I've said it before, I've really liked how much Elias Pettersson has been battling, especially against the Minnesota Wild guys that have been trying to, you know, definitely target him. They have a bullseye on his back, but he's done a really good job of reacting to that, even throwing a few shots of his own back, hasn't gotten flustered, even
tops it off with a goal as well. That's all the time we have today on the program. Thank you so much for giving us some time today here on Sportsnet 650. The Vancouver Canucks NHL coverage all day lives right here on Sportsnet 650. We are your exclusive home of the Canucks. If you missed any of the interviews throughout the entire week, please head on over to sportsnet.ca/650. You can navigate to the shows page and catch them all over there. The full podcast, the full interviews, they will all live on the web on sportsnet.ca/650. This has been the wrap-up. My name is Roger Shergill, and I will chat with you next week right here on your home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.